Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hello, Mark.
Sporting a beard today.
I know. I went to Wyoming.
Okay.
And so, you know, when you're in Wyoming, you should do what Wyomingers do. And Greek to the Greek, Romans to the Romans, Wyoming's. To the Wyoming.
And it looks like it's mostly gray, too. So you must be closer to me in age than I thought.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, that's what happens to us when we try and grow beards.
It looks good. I look younger without the beard, that's for sure.
Well, hey, we are talking, as usual, about estate planning, but a specific subject that I think we touched on in several shows, but you want to get back into it today, and that's healthcare documents and how important it is to have end of life and some of these things planned out and figured out before those things happen in our life.
Yeah, and that's the biggest deal, which is if we don't have proper estate planning. So that's wills, trusts, powers of attorney for financial health, end-of-life documents. Then the emergency hits, and that's when people scramble. Mm. Even very recently, a client of mine, the emergency hit. They're in the hospital, and I must have fielded 5 or 6 phone calls from the family. Mm. And it's just this chaotic moment in time of, I need this, or where is that? Can you help me find this? Mm. So not only did they have the luxury of calling the law office and being able for us to have all the documents and having a trusted relationship in the background. So if you don't have a relationship, an ongoing relationship with an attorney, those emergencies become very unsettling. Mm. And then it's just left to the people that are in front of you. But with a better relationship, with a long-term relationship, then you at least have the confidence to call and know who to call. The family knows who to call. So that's another great part of the story, is that the family knew who to call when the incident happened. Mm. And then I can be a voice of direction and a voice of confidence instead of, if we don't have something and the emergency happens. And this happens to, you know, we get this phone call from the public, which is, we're in this emergency. And it's just like, I'm
the
sorry.
Public in general, you have no relationship?
Well, right. Yeah, sure. Such as listeners of this radio station who haven't yet called and actually taken the moment and time to
do their estate plan. Oh, boy, here we are now in the
emergency. Yeah, that's right.
And again, with the statistics on this, only 50% of Americans have any kind of estate planning, a will or trust, but more than 70% of Americans don't have health care or end-of-life documents.
Yeah.
So even
a higher percentage. Mm. So somehow people think, oh, if I just get a will and prepare that I'm dying, they forget one of the more important times, which is, gosh, I could actually have a health incident. Mm. I think maybe sometimes we get a little bit bamboozled by our own health, that if we are healthy, that we can keep pushing this stuff off. Mm. But yet, the person I was talking about in the hospital is in their 60s, and they're not that old. Mm. And they're going through health issues. So it can hit at any time, whether we want that or not.
God holds our life in his hands.
That is for sure. And he sees, and we live in fallen bodies. They are decaying. Mm. And so we live in a fallen world. And so therefore, as healthy as we want, then these bodies begin to go backwards. They are destined to turn back to dust. Mm. We are not destined to hold this body forever. Mm. So therefore, we have to anticipate that we are going to have a health incident. And so, yeah, that statistic is very odd to me, which is 50% of Americans over the age of 65 have estate plans, but only 30% then.
Yeah, 30.
30% have proper healthcare documents. And so that's a big gap.
Which you're much more likely to need, well, obviously sooner, because you hope you survive your healthcare incident, but you might not.
Yeah.
And that's so the precursor to passing away.
Oftentimes, right? And so we have this gap in planning. And we don't want gaps. We want all of the estate plan to be done well. We want to match and make everything as smooth as possible. So I use that phrase quite a bit on the radio show, which is all of my clients have said one of the main reasons that they have done estate planning is to ensure that there is a smooth transition. And I think we get a little bit focused on that's when I die. Well, how about the smooth transition when you have a health emergency, that the family knows who to call? The family knows that they have documentation in place. They know which documents to use to match the situation, because everybody at that moment is now in a little bit of chaos. It's very, very rare that somebody walks in other than the doctor who is as calm as a cucumber, because they've seen it all before, and it's not their relative. But everyone else around the person is in a little bit of chaos. There's emotional chaos. We don't think as straight. So we need to make sure that every part of our life is a smooth transition. So do we have access to your finances to pay your bills? Do we have the proper financial power of attorney? Do we have these healthcare documents? So that's what we need to talk about today.
Okay.
Is what are these healthcare documents, because we need a smooth transition every step of the way.
Well then, so what are those major healthcare documents that every person needs to have?
Yeah. There's several that by Washington statute are separated. So the first one is really what we've been talking about in using a broad general term of a healthcare power of attorney. Okay. So great. Healthcare power of attorney is one of them. Now, the healthcare power of attorney is really designed to ensure that if we need medical attention, that an individual is authorized and legally able to speak on your behalf. So then why even have a healthcare power of attorney? Why are we taking a dedicated couple of shows to talk about this issue? Well, imagine the scenario if you're walking into an emergency room. All of us probably have been to an emergency for one room for one reason or another. It may have not been your emergency. It may have been someone else's. But if someone is unable to communicate to a doctor at that time, if they're having a major health incident and the patient is potentially not understanding the questions or the severity of the nature of the questions, then there is going to be a necessity for someone to rise up and have that authority to speak on that person's behalf to make a medical decision. Now, here's the interesting thing about what I have seen from the outside. I am not an MD. I do not know the inner workings of hospitals. I do not understand the legalities of it. I've never worked for a hospital. So therefore, this is what I perceive as an estate planner who gets the phone calls or has received reports of what clients have experienced, which is if someone is in a emergency situation and a spouse, the kids, a sibling, someone of family nature is there, then typically what I have heard is that the medical profession is going to look at the individuals around that person, tell them what they see, and provided that everyone is in agreement with that medical recommendation, then really the doctors are going to just kind of take over and move forward with what is in the patient's best interest. Of course, they have ethical duties and to care for the person in front of them, and the list goes on. So the question then is, what does the medical power of attorney do? Well, if indeed there was a medical choice that needed to be made that was either rather severe, that someone was going to have, I don't know, I'm just making stuff up, some sort of an amputation or something is going to have a life-altering decision, there may be a little more hesitation in the doctor's discussion with the family that this is the right decision, and does anyone have medical power of attorney? It is going to definitively be asked for if the family wants to take a decision and move in an opposite direction than what a doctor has then said, this is in the person's best interest. And I can give you an example that we can all relate to or have heard about, which is, what if someone was in the dying process and they looked at their family and said, just take me home. I just want to die at home. So do we have – so if that patient is not clearly in their right mind, and doctors may want at that moment to say, well, who has the authority, the legal authority, to actually tell me that it's okay for you as the family to take this patient out of my care?
So the person, if they're conscious enough to make that request, that they don't have that that power themselves?
So,
I refuse this care. I want to go home and die.
The qualification I said was, what if the medical community is looking at that individual and they are unsure whether that person has the right cognitive ability to make that decision for them?
Okay.
And this could be very critical in the issue of memory loss. So as individuals age and they start having memory issues, which I don't know what the statistics are, just based upon what I am observing, it appears that more and more individuals are beginning to have memory loss issues and are struggling with memory concerns at an earlier age. So if someone now is having memory issues and that now can last for multiple years, well, again, what if we needed to make a decision as a family that our family member would want, but it's against what the doctors are recommending? So, and at that point, we can't get document signed. It's too late. We can't get them in the emergency room a lot of the times. We can't get them if there's memory issues that are too far down the road and competency is a concern. So healthcare documents are really critical when there is going to be a medical decision that may potentially be made for an incompetent individual and or if someone is going to go against medical advice. So oftentimes the experience is that as a family, the doctors want community involvement, not the general public community, but family as a community is what I meant. I think everyone followed what I meant by that word. But they want the family engagement. And
doctors do.
That's what I have heard and what I've seen.
Take over.
No, I don't think so, actually. That's really not my perception and not what I've seen firsthand. It's not what I hear back. So actually, I think the medical community is honorably actually trying to get a real sense of what the family desires to help the individual. Of course, they have a very strategic plan they need and want to lay out medically. So I think that they actually do a better job than my profession as attorneys of getting family input into the whole thing.
Okay.
So, but again, if we don't have the legal authority in a place where they may have to say, well, I'm uncomfortable with that because of my own code of ethics and because it's against what my best medical advice would be, then we need to have these documents. We need to have them in place. So there's kind of a very long opening up. I haven't even gotten to your question, which are all the medical documents, but we'll get to those as we get back.
Okay, intriguing subject. If you need some help on this aspect of estate planning from Paul, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Yeah, head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us. We'd love to help being able to take on and move your documents forward. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Really practical discussion today. Even before a will or a trust, it's so important to have your health care documents in order. And Paul is helping us with this subject. Okay, so we sort of touched on some of them. What are some more of the health care documents?
I was just laughing at myself as we came back out of break because I haven't even gotten through question one yet. But that's pretty typical for me, isn't it, Mark?
How many show series is this, Paul?
That's right, just two. We'll see. So health care document is kind of the one, and it's a general title. Healthcare power of attorney. And so what we're doing is we're naming an individual, and we'll get to there in a second, which is how do we name or who should we be naming? We name an individual to take care of our health care. And health care typically in this setting is talking about our physical body, operations, medications, surgeries, can we cast it, these types of healthcare physical functionalities. Mm. Now, Washington State does also have a mental health statute. And so my firm, maybe I'm a little bit of an outlier here because I don't see many clients who bring in their previous documents. So if somebody did a will 20 years ago when their kids were, barely crawling and now they're in a different place, both financially and family. They may have older documents, so maybe a little bit unfair because that statute is a newer statute. It's not back in the 80s and 90s, but we do have a mental health power of attorney statute. And how I explain that statute working is the good Lord created us with things that we don't see, our thought life and our emotional life. Mm. So that's really where the mental health power of attorney would play a critical role. And as we know, I've mentioned this before, but the 20-year-olds, the young 30-year-olds, they seem to have far more anxiety, mental health issues.
Really?
So
okay.
This is not an old person's game anymore. Mm. It's not just memory loss. And so memory loss could ultimately be relying a lot upon that healthcare power of attorney because it's dealing with our thoughts and our mind. But nowadays, boy, if you have kids and they're in college, if they are 20 years old and they're just barely starting out their financial life and you're going, well, they don't need any estate plan. Boy, I don't know about that anymore because there appears to be such a rising mental health crisis in our country. And it is really looking at mid-30s and below into our teens still. Hmm. And so there may be a really strong case that 20-year-olds may need estate planning. Estate planning documents just like their parents do.
Interesting.
Right? And so we relate estate planning to aging and whether or not we have enough wealth to do estate planning. And one of the core things that is missed in that mentality is, but you are worthy. to be cared for. And that's really what this whole segment is about. Mm-hmm. You're worthy to be taken care of, so we need proper health care documents around you. We need a mental health care document around you. So Washington State has a separate mental health statute. So therefore, I create a separate mental health document. In addition, there are HIPAA laws. And so in a standard healthcare power of attorney, there should be language that gives access to medical records. However, the interesting thing about that document is that it enacts when someone can't make a decision for themselves. So therefore, we may need access to medical records before we ever get into a healthcare crisis, because your parents are just aging, or other scenarios, that emergency situation to where previous medical records may be necessary to review and have a full look at what's going on. So therefore, I actually, in my law office, create a separate document giving accessibility that meets HIPAA compliance to the agent that is going to take care of us in our healthcare document. And then the last document that we need, and we'll come back and talk about these a little more in detail as well, which is your end of life document. So that is the, you know, the fond one of pull the plug of if you're on life support, what if you're in the dying process. So those are the major documents that we need to ensure that we're going to be well taken care of.
So I'm getting a little confused here. So how many documents are there? Why so many?
Well,
you're mentioning law. Are they all part of like addendums to the major, the healthcare document,
right,
per se, and
yeah,
just different chapters of the same document, or what is this?
Yeah, great question. So many things that I see actually have all of these different theories, all of these different sections of law wrapped up in one document. I don't like that. So in my system, these are all distinct individual documents, the ones that I just ran down. Mm. So those are the legal documents: healthcare, mental health, HIPAA, and end-of-life documents. So all of those are separate legal documents for me. Why? Because they rely upon different segments of law. Mm. And so not only that, but in the specifically if someone has struggled with mental health issues, they may have a different person that they would want to say, if I'm really having a difficulty, I'd really want that person to help me versus these people who, if I'm stuck in a hospital for some reason, let them make the decisions. Mm. So one document sometimes is not the greatest answer. For me, because they're relying upon different areas of law, I've broken them down, and I want them as very distinct documents. So, that way, different people can have different authority if indeed that's what the client wants.
So you're talking about multiple different executors, per se?
It's possible. Okay. And so, you know, I'll give you—
Personal, what do you call them? Personal representative? Or?
Yeah. In this area, it's a healthcare representative, but yes. I'll give you an example. A very distinct question I ask is, so you have a healthcare person and maybe they've listed a sibling because the kids are not quite old enough. Maybe they're in their 20s in college and they just don't have the emotional maturity yet to make lasting healthcare decisions. Or we get the right person who's compassionate involved in these decisions. But who is the one who is going to be responsible for that living will? It's called a living will, that end-of-life document, to actually work with the doctors to say, yes, we have no hope, and it's time to go ahead and release them. Sometimes clients put different people in those scenarios.
It's not always the spouse.
So if married, yes, there's probability it's going to be the spouse first, unless there's already incompetency issues or other things that are going on. But really, if it's after the spouse and then we have a backup person, or if it's a single individual and we have that main representative, that healthcare representative making the decisions, sometimes we want one person who is outside family relationships taking care of the health, but then we want to bring the family back in to make the final call, or sometimes it's reversed. And so So yes, there can be different documents for different reasons because of the changing representative and the decisions that a client needs to make that we ask. And I'm not so sure that these questions are asked in most counseling sessions, because if you just have one document, then one person's making them all. And that document may or may not fit the exact scenario. I would rather have individual documents, make sure that they're going to fit the scenario perfectly, and we have the right area of law in that, and we have also taken the moment to decide who is going to make the decisions. Are they right for that specific scenario? So healthcare, mental health, and end of life, these are three very distinct and different scenarios that a person could go through. Briefly, we're almost out of time. I've had clients that started a new medication, and that new medication was not working with their body, and they went into a mental health crisis episode because of a new drug. They hadn't experienced any of that before. So each one of these documents are important. And even if you've never had those circumstances in yourself previously, we still need them all. So this is an important topic. We need to raise that barometer and get away from that 70. We need to pull up and get more estate planning done.
Yeah, it is an important part of your estate planning. It's not just the will or trust, but also getting the right healthcare documents in place. So important. And if you need help with any of this, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's previous podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, it's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.